This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
So I'm looking at the schedule for this weekend in the NFL. I'm excited for the Texans and the Packers. I think there's going to be a lot of points scored. I'm anxious to see if Deshaun can keep playing at the level he's playing at. And Seth, I'm looking at the schedule. I'm thinking, boy, is this the most compelling quarterback matchup of the weekend? I mean, this is pretty good. Aaron Rodgers, who until this past weekend, I think was seen as one of the two or three front runners for the MVP. Right now, Russell Wilson's the leader in the clubhouse, but Aaron Rodgers has had a good year so far. Deshaun Watson has, I think statistically, and the level that he's played at over the last 2 or 3 weeks has been overshadowed by the firing of his head coach and the fact that his team is 1-5. But Deshaun Watson is playing really good football. Like, by any measure, by the statistics, the rankings, you went into the rankings on Pro Football Focus yesterday. Do Deshaun's numbers the last few weeks and the accolades he's getting from the national folks, maybe the advanced stats folks, does that match the eyeball test for you, Seth? Does he look like he's playing that same free-flowing style he was playing his rookie year when he was really, really good?
It's getting closer. I think that the biggest difference is still the consistency. You know, his problem last year was his consistency from game to game. His 4 worst games were so bad that it kind of knocked him out of that battle for MVP caliber or close to MVP caliber candidates. I think this year it's been that, all right, versus the Jaguars versus the Titans, at the end of the game it looks pretty impressive, but it's too stagnant early on. And when you have a bad defense like that, man, it gets scary as hell when you're just dragging and dragging and dragging before you actually finally get everything to click. That's where I guess I still feel like we're precarious. You know, I feel like, okay, I'm spending too much time in a game wondering at what point is it just going to dry up for the offense. Like the Steelers game, hey, you had some good things going. It was the opposite there. You had some really good things going. Then you come out in the third quarter, and it was just absolute stagnancy. It was 3-and-out, 3-and-out. And that's where I wanted the next step to be, that you feel like every single series is a potential disaster for the opponent's defense.
Yeah, especially early in games. I mean, they still have not done anything but punt on their first possession in all of these games so far this year. That's a trend that goes back 2.5 years now of them being bad to open up games. You posed this question off the air, Seth, and I think it's interesting that one of the things we say about Deshaun is that, well, with a quarterback like Deshaun, you're never going to be worse than 8-8. And as I look at the Texans, where they are now, but what the schedule is the rest of the way, because where they are now is largely driven by certainly their poor play at times, but the level of opponent that they've played is off the charts difficult. Like, you look at most of the power rankings, the subjective power rankings for the NFL for this week, and the first 4 teams in almost all of them are some permutation of Kansas City, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, and Tennessee. And you don't have to get much further to find Green Bay either. So it doesn't get a whole lot easier this weekend with Green Bay. But the back end of the schedule gets a little bit easier. I don't know if it's 8-8 easy. You know, 8-8 means they need to go 7-3 the rest of the way. I don't know if they have 7-3 in them with this defense. I'm looking more like 6-10, I think, is where they end up landing. They go 5-5 the rest of the way. Feels about right. But let's pretend 8-8 for a second here. The question you posed off air I thought was really interesting is, did Cal McNair, do we think, see the direction this whole thing was going under Bill O'Brien? and cut bait with him after the first four games, because the last thing Cal McNair might have needed, if you think the direction under Bill O'Brien, both on the field and in the building, is going the way that it's going and that it ain't coming back, the last thing you need is for them to make a run back to 8-8 and then have to make the hard decision.
Yeah, and I wonder where some people that criticized him, more people outside of Houston than inside of Houston, that criticized Cal McNair for pulling the plug after four games, was he had seen exactly what happened in Atlanta. Atlanta last year, they probably should have fired the coach midway through the season or before. They didn't, and they go on a miraculous or an impressive run to finish out the season, even though in his heart of hearts, the Falcons owner, Arthur Blank, probably knows he should have fired the coach somewhere along the way. And I think that Cal could probably read the writing on the wall, understood exactly the effect O'Brien was having on people in the organization, and it was just flat out the right time to do it. So I catch myself that thinking that sometimes where the offense is starting to look like maybe the offense that Bill O'Brien envisioned, and then I literally slap myself in the face. I go like that,
yeah,
and say, Seth, stop that. You're being stupid.
Yeah.
Because no, it wouldn't have been any different. You would have finished 9-7 somehow. It would have been impressive. Hey, Bill O'Brien is great with their back against the wall, and that's not the way you got to do it in the NFL anymore.
So I'm looking at the dance card for this weekend in the NFL, and Aaron Rodgers versus Deshaun Watson, especially with these two defenses, is a pretty sexy matchup. I'm trying to see which ones would match up to that. You know, Lions, Falcons, those are the Matthew Stafford, Matt Ryan, both kind of on their last legs. Baker Mayfield, Joe Burrow is kind of interesting for maybe in the case of Baker Mayfield, maybe more Schadenfreude reasons than, hey, these are two guys who are going to play at a high level. They are two former number one overall picks battling for supremacy in the cesspool state of Ohio. Where do you come out on Ryan Tannehill v. Ben Roethlisberger this weekend?
Ooh. Well, Tannehill's been the better quarterback. Roethlisberger is doing something that he never would have been able to do, let's say, 10 years ago. He's being exactly what his team needs. I think that he's making very smart decisions. He's not taking too many risks with the ball. He's not making a whole bunch of big time throws that he probably still feels like he's capable of making. And this is the hardest thing to do for some quarterbacks, right? Is to learn your limitations. That's where he is right now. He's kind of limited, but he's doing a really efficient job of recognizing and understanding, wow, we've got a really good defense. I'm just going to go ahead and give a steady effort. And you look at him, the consistency from week to week, he's kind of the opposite of what Deshaun has been, where Deshaun is up and down and up and down. Roethlisberger, his good games aren't as good as Deshaun's good games, but he's been consistently a steady performer. And I think that the Steelers might kind of just tortoise in the hair their way to being one of the best teams or the best team in the AFC just by sheer consistency and good effort on defense.
The Steelers are playing exactly how the math would have told you they should be. Their record, I mean 5-0, maybe that would have been a reach. Say, hey, they're going to be undefeated 6 weeks into the year. They're 5-0. They've had a bye week already. But my feeling on the Steelers, Seth, was, hey, man, look, they were 8-8 last year with one of the best defenses in the league and with pure trash at quarterback. I mean, Mason Rudolph and Duck Hodges were their quarterback literally for the entire season other than the first part of the first game before Roethlisberger hurt his elbow. That was their quarterback play. And if the season last year had the same rules for the playoffs as this year's do, if there were a seventh team in each conference, the Steelers would have been a playoff team last year. They would have been the seventh team in the AFC. So my feeling was, boy, if Ben Roethlisberger is what we think he can be, and you and I were very pro on Ben Roethlisberger coming into this year, I think saw him as maybe a nice dark horse MVP candidate at 50 or 60-1, and I don't think he's going to win the MVP, but he's played very, very well, then this is what happens. This might be Ben Roethlisberger's best look at getting to a Super Bowl since he's actually been to a Super Bowl about 10 years ago.
Yeah, if you look at like his QBR right now is a 60, which is 21st in the NFL.
Yeah.
That sounds like, wow, it must not be that good a performance. QBR is balanced out as the season goes by. The important thing to remember that is that like a 50 in QBR is like an 8-8 effort. If your quarterback is has a 50 QBR, then you should probably win about half your games in the NFL if everything else was equal. So he's putting in above average, like a winning quarterback performance, but they've got a lot of really good pieces around them, especially on defense. I think with Deshaun, right now, and this is exactly how I'm thinking of Deshaun going into this game, it's almost the opposite of when you face a guy like Pat Mahomes. What do you say, right? You gotta try to keep him off the field as much as possible. You gotta try to keep Pat Mahomes off the field that way. So you want your offense driving the ball and everything to be able to keep Pat Mahomes off the field. With the Texans, it's more, we need Deshaun to have long, sustained drives every game to keep our defense off the field no matter who the quarterback is. Mm-hmm. That's just got to be your natural game plan, is that it's not enough to have a bunch of touchdown passes. You have to play complementary football by having long, sustained drives that end in touchdown passes. It can't be three and out, four-play series where you hit Will Fuller for a long touchdown. That's gonna lose football games for you. You got to dink and dunk. You got to take your shots downfield. I don't care about establishing the run. You can use screens and short passes to running backs as your running game, but you got to be more of a grind the clock out mentality, because your defense really, really needs the help.
Download the radio.com app. You can bring us with you wherever you go. The entire station, you can bring us with you. You can rewind to the beginning of shows if you missed the beginning. It's a really, really cool feature. We'll stick with the Texans and the Packers. That's Deshaun and Aaron Rodgers, the offensive side of the ball. Who are the three players on the Texans that need to have their best game of the year against the Packers? Seth Payne will tell you next. All right, we will get to the three players that have to play their best game of the year for the Texans to beat the Packers, according to Seth Payne, in just a minute. And the three names actually kind of play into this conversation. Romeo Crennel just met with the media for his Friday press conference, and the big story with the Texans this week has been the rumors of trades, of guys getting moved, and Deshaun Watson saying earlier this week that, them boys ain't getting traded, talking about the wide receivers. It sounded like Deshaun was kind of putting his thumb down on the franchise of, telling them what he thought they should do. As it turned out, Romeo Crennel had gathered the team around to kind of put their minds at ease or keep them focused, I guess, on the task at hand, which is beating the Green Bay Packers, not getting players moved in the trade deadline. Well, Romeo met with the media this morning for the first time since that meeting with the team took place after practice. And here is Romeo Crennel on that conversation with the team.
Well, this year has been a really difficult year. A couple of things. You got the pandemic, you got coaching change, and now around the trade deadline, you got trade rumors. All these guys got telephones, and so they can read the rumors and listen to the rumors and all of that. So I wanted to get those guys to understand that we're trying to win a football game, and rumors are rumors, and there's no validity to the rumors, And so I broached the subject with them because we got a big game coming up, and I don't want them thinking about, am I getting traded? Am I not getting traded? What's going on? And all of those kind of things. So I put it out there and told them that we're trying to win a game. It's what we're trying to do, and we want to be as successful as we can. And right now, under my tenure, we are a 1-1 football team, could have very easily been 2-0. And so I want to build on that.
All right. So the follow-up to that was, would you like to see, or do you want to see any of these guys traded?
I'm not looking to trade anybody. I want to try to win with the guys we got. We got a pretty good team. We got some talent on the team. And so basically, if we can go forward and win a game, then I think attitudes are going to change and people are going to be more positive. And then the second half of the season, we got a chance to do something. And so that's what my focus is.
Yeah, bingo on that last part, Romeo. Seth, that's about as candid as you can get a head coach on sharing something he said in a collective private conversation with the team.
Well, I do think this too. Look, there's always going to be head coaches always want to keep all their guys unless you can trade for somebody that helps you immediately, whereas a general manager is going to be more inclined to sometimes say, all right, we need to think about the future. Let's get some draft picks. the guys who were most mentioned in these trade talks, and the reason any of this became a discussion was because three Texans receivers decided to like a post on Instagram that referenced trade rumors. So Cooks, Cobb, and was Stills the one that,
yes,
that liked it. They all liked that post, which, okay, read into that what you want. Those are the guys, other than Stills, I think, look, Cobb and Cooks are the guys where you might say, hey, maybe these guys can fetch something nice. I don't want to trade them. And honestly, even for like a second round pick, which would be a really good value for those guys, I'm trying to attract the head coach to the team. And I think that any head coach that's looking at this team might look at the way the offense performs in weeks 5 through 16, as we've started to see Randall Cobb and Brandy Cooks really get involved. And they might say, okay, we have to miss a year with some top draft picks, but we got a quarterback and we've got a whole bunch of speed with the receivers. I can find a running back after we get rid of David Johnson, and we can find some other people. But I think that's one of the biggest selling points you have right now to a potential coach and to a potential general manager, is that Deshaun Watson has weapons around him. Yeah. You know what? Bill O'Brien left this team with a whole lot of crosses to bear, but I think he did at least leave a few gifts, and one of those is the potential of this passing offense.
Yeah, and they've started to realize some of that the last few weeks. All right, so Seth, this is actually a decent segue into what we teased into the segment, because three of the names that we brought up in my, three of the names that we have at least discussed some over the last few days about possible trade targets for other teams to cherry pick from the Texans happen to be the three guys that you think need to play their best games of the season this weekend against the Packers.
Yeah, I think this is a very winnable game. Sean, what's the spread right now?
3.5.
This is a
Packers
3.5.
Packers 3.5.
Telling any Texans fans out there that feel like, oh, these are the big bad Packers coming into town. Yeah, they're the big bad Packers who looked really good versus the Lions. They looked really good versus the Falcons. They looked really good versus, what was the other bedraggled team?
The Vikings.
The Vikings, yeah. They played against three of the worst. When people are talking about, oh, whoa, wow, this is Aaron Rodgers' best football, the only real impressive game they had offensively was against the Saints. That was the only good team they played, and then they got the crap beat out of them by the Bucks. They're a better team than the Texans, don't get me wrong, but this is a very winnable game because the Texans' offense is going to do well against that Green Bay defense. Green Bay defense is almost as bad as the Texans' defense. The Texans' defense can do a few specific things to get back to at least being an average defense. I think the three key players this week are, one, Bradley Roby, because Bradley Roby is going to be charged with covering Davante Adams. Davante Adams is by far the biggest threat, the most consistent threat as a receiver for the Packers. So I think Roby needs to have a good game. I think he's capable of having a good game. The best game he's had this year versus a team's number one receiver, I would say, was versus Chase Claypool, who only had one reception, versus Bradley Roby. The worst would either be A.J. Brown. Adam Thielen caught 8 balls versus Bradley Roby. Tyreek Hill caught 5, but one of them was for a touchdown. A.J. Brown caught 2 touchdowns versus Bradley Roby. So he hasn't been splendid versus the other team's number one wide receiver. I think he can be better, and I think this would be a good week to start.
He did get his pick, his one pick of the season in that Tennessee game. And Brown didn't put up huge numbers in the passing game. Those 2 touchdowns were the big numbers, obviously. Only 5 catches for 56 yards, but you're right. In the had-to-have-it moments, Bradley Roby fell short, but he did have the pick in that game. So Roby's number one. Who's number two?
Number two would be the guy we've talked about all week, and I'm being as positive as I can be about this because I know this guy's capable of a whole lot more, and it's Zach Cunningham. Sean, you asked the question yesterday whether Zach Cunningham might be suffering from that just got paid syndrome.
Yeah.
He just got a big contract and maybe he relaxes a little bit. I think if anything, it might be the opposite because he still plays his ass off. He's still running sideline to sideline. Mm-hmm. When he misses a tackle, which he has done more frequently than at any other point in his NFL career, he busts his ass to still get back and try to get a second lick on the guy. It's not like he's out there being lazy or anything. He's just trying too hard sometimes. It's like he's trying to play two positions against the run instead of just one and letting the defensive lineman in front of him play their gaps. And then he's going for the big hit or the impressive tackle instead of just the nice form tackle at times on defense. So I think if he if he hems a few things up, if he really studies this play-action attack by the Packers, I think Cunningham has a chance to have his best game of the season, which doesn't have to be an incredible game. Just be better than you were in those first five games, and then you've got a real chance. And then the third guy, it's simply J.J. Watt. J.J., I think, had his best week as a pass rusher last week. I know he had two sacks versus the Ravens, but he wasn't as consistently of a menace as a pass rusher in that game as he was last week. There were times last week where the Texans played a genuine 4-3 look more often. I think he kind of probably enjoyed playing 4-3 defensive end. It's a different feel. It's a different challenge. And I thought he took to it well. So I think J.J., building on what he did last week and having like a vintage J.J. Watt performance, that alone might be enough. But these three guys each having their best game of the season, I think you've got a real, real chance to win a shootout versus the Packers.
These are the guys that are getting paid to have games like this. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It one at each level, right? J.J. on the defensive line, Zach Cunningham with the big contract in the linebacking core there at that second level, and then on that third level with the secondary, it's Bradley Roby, who's been, I think he's been pretty consistent and pretty solid this year. So hopefully he does that against this Packers passing attack. All right, we'll get on the record with some predictions on the game this weekend. Lisa Ann is going to join us in the next segment for a few minutes and give us some thoughts on the fantasy football landscape for Week 7. Who are some of the guys you should be picking up? Some of the injuries around the league? How do you adapt to that? And we'll do some startums and situms if you want to text those in. Some of you are texting them in already. 713-572-4610 if you've got some startums and situms or some questions for Lisa Ann. That will be next. Text in 713-572-4610. We will rapid fire some startums, situms, sleepers, and so forth with Lisa Ann, who joins us on the program right now. She's our fantasy football expert, joins us every Friday in the final segment of the week, getting us ready for Week 7 in fantasy football. Lisa, it's great to have you as always. And we talk to you every Friday. So by the time we talk to you, there's typically one game in the books already for the week, the Thursday night game. Somewhere out there, Lisa, there's an owner who's going to lose their game this week because Daniel Jones couldn't stand up because he got going too fast for his own legs. Like, his upper body got going too fast for his own legs, and he fell down with nothing but green in front of him.
Yeah, you know, it was hard to watch, and it was even better after the game, the post game. They showed the camera footage of his teammates laughing at him, and it wasn't that they were laughing at him. It's like when your friend falls in front of you and you know they're okay, but it's still so funny that everyone laughs. Poor guy. I mean, I think his brain was calculating the run faster than his legs could go, and you could see it happening. You were like, he's getting squirrely. He's getting squirrely. You know, receivers will be smart enough to look up at the monitor and see if there's anyone behind them. Yeah. But a quarterback doesn't really expect to make that long of a run. Even Mahomes had tweeted that he couldn't run that far. But yeah, it was not a good look. And look, Jake Elliott could have lost some fantasy owners a game. But this game last night is proof to me that when there is an NFL game on, you cannot turn it off with 2 minutes left. You have to watch that game in its entirety. And the last minute of that game, the Boston Scott toss, best pass Carson Wentz has made, I think, so far on the season. Really a good look for the Eagles to pull out that win. But also, if anybody gave up on the game, they missed the best part.
Yeah.
Speaking of unexpected tumbles, Ryan Fitzpatrick learned quite abruptly that he had lost his starting job this week. Tua Tagovailoa is going to take over. What does this mean for any Miami players you have on your fantasy roster now that Tua Tagovailoa is taken over?
Yeah, I think we saw what Justin Herbert has done, so it's given us a bit of confidence, right? We're going into this looking at best-case scenario. I wouldn't be benching any of my Miami players. This is a situation that everyone was prepared was going to happen. It was just slated to happen after their bye week. Now it's happening much sooner. I will say, the day that Fitzpatrick gave that presser, I thought he was doing a bit. Like, I thought it was comedy because it was cute and funny. He's like, well, I got fired yesterday, and then I had to sit in a meeting with my boss that just fired me and sit next to the person that just took my job. I thought it was a comedy bit. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, he's actually bummed about this. I mean, Fitz had to know that he was a Band-Aid, that they wanted to bring Tua up. Yes, he probably thought he had more playing time. But if Tua does well, I think Fitz should be on the market. And if Andy Dalton doesn't do well, we could see some Fitz magic lighting up for the Dallas Cowboys.
Lisa Ann joining us for her weekly.
Yeah, another big announcement.
Yeah. I was processing what you were saying about the quarterbacks, Lisa, and you said his as far as one of the quarterbacks goes, and it blended into my question. Trust me, Lisa, her weekly visit on the program. Is everybody that's pretty much playing in this Packers-Texans game this weekend, are they pretty much must starts given what these two defenses are and what these two quarterbacks have become?
Yeah, must starts. We see that Deshaun Watson, no matter what, is still going to fight the battle, right? So you're going to get good fantasy points. I mean, he got me a good 36 fantasy points last week, which I was pretty excited about. We know Aaron Rodgers plays real hard after he's had a down game. It's been great for all of you to see how these pieces are starting to work, right? Brandon Cooks, Randall Cobb, Will Fuller staying healthy has been just amazing. So I think you're going to get a lot of points. This is going to be a high-scoring game. If you have any players in this matchup, you totally have to play him. Now, Davante Adams was a complete letdown last week for myself as an owner that held him through the injury and then comes back in. You could see Aaron Rodgers' disappointment in his eyes. I didn't feel great about that. And I'm wondering what we see this week is kind of going to set the landscape for the rest of the season on the working relationship with Aaron Rodgers and his teammates.
Well, when we talk about the Texans fantasy players, David Johnson's the one where I didn't fall into this trap this year that I did last year where the Texans traded for Duke Johnson and I thought, oh, well, for sure they're going to pass the ball like crazy to Duke Johnson. But David Johnson, I didn't, you know, it's not like I went on and gotten him fantasy, but as a Texans fan, I'd kind of like to see him get more than two receptions in a game at any point. What do you do when you're sitting on a guy like that where you're getting to week seven? It looks like obviously that he might have some moments at some point along the way, but you got to cut bait at some point, right?
Yeah, and I think this is something that we've seen in David Johnson for the past couple of years, a bit of his consistent decline, right? 2016 was his last really big season. But I think the coaching change has to give everybody a little bit of pause and patience. But you're not going to pull anything else out of David Johnson with these matchups, right? We're going to be preparing for David Johnson. He gets what he gets, and he seems completely satisfied with it. And I think the expectation is you lost D-Hop for David Johnson.
Yeah.
So everybody wants magic. That magic was 2016. It's 2020. It's a long time from then, and I just don't think David Johnson has as much gas in the tank as he did back then.
Yeah, no question about that. Lisa Ann joining us for her weekly visit on our show. Antonio Brown, Lisa, most leagues, you know, that you're in or that you interact with people about, how have they been treating Antonio Brown? Is he a guy that's been picked up at the beginning of the season in a lot of leagues, just knowing that he would become eligible again at some point? Or has this been like the week to be picking up Antonio Brown because of the rumors of him and the Seahawks or him possibly coming back with some other team?
Yeah, I'm happy. Every draft I was in, somebody took Antonio Brown. I wouldn't have taken him. But the reason it makes me happy is that gives me another positional player that actually has a job. So you can play in your tomfoolery and see how long you can keep Antonio Brown on your bench. I see the chatter, but it's very confusing. What we were told when he was handed the suspension is he still has to settle the civil case. The civil case is the situation with the trainer that's been ongoing, which of course has been shelved with coronavirus. I've been following this with every detail. And 3 weeks ago, Antonio Brown's lawyer that he was using left the position of being his lawyer in this particular case. So you can follow it if you dig deep in the news, but I think everyone's confused by teams just starting to have this conversation because we're getting to the point of his suspension that has been dished out. He's getting to the point where that is going to be expired and he's going to be eligible. But is he eligible? Doesn't he still have this civil case? And I will say, like, I did a little Facebook Live about this yesterday. I think everybody should look into the actions of someone and really think, why are you guys all clamoring for this person? What, your talent? This talent is pushing aside the important things of a court case because this woman deserves to be heard, and the NFL needs to be listening to that.
Yeah, and, there's some things that aren't a matter of contention in the lawsuit, including the way he communicated with the woman that was filing the complaint. Like some of these things are he said, she said, but some of them are like documented on emails mm-hmm. and matters of public record. I guess that would lead me to ask you this question, and I never thought I'd be asking this question, Lisa, at week 7 of the NFL season, but who do you think has more fantasy points at the end of the year, Antonio Bryant or Dez Bryant, who looks like he's going to sign with the practice squad of the Ravens?
Oh, that's a great question, because you're right. Dez Bryant has been practicing, though the notes from practice were that he's a lot slower than he used to be. You remember, he had an injury that pulled him out when he took that deal with New Orleans. He's also been kind of on the couch. I mean, sure, we can see him on Instagram working out, but he hasn't been playing. He's a bit older. That's really tough. I mean, I guess if Antonio Brown is reinstated, whatever team takes him, let's say hypothetically it was Seattle, they're taking him to use him, right? And they're going to prove that it was worth taking him. So I would have to say Antonio Brown.
Yeah, I would just be worried about what you just said, Lisa. I'd be worried Dez Bryant just physically doesn't have that gear anymore because mm-hmm. of the injuries. Lisa Ann joining us for her weekly visit, doling out the fantasy advice. Lisa, let's get to some of these stardoms and situms from some of the people on the text page here. Sean, please ask Lisa if she would play Mike Williams from the Chargers, T. Higgins, Bengals, or Odell Beckham Jr. They need to choose two of those three. So Higgins, Williams, and OBJ, who are the two that you take?
You know, these are all great options. You look at the Los Angeles Chargers going up against Jacksonville. It's a super weak defense, but I love what T. Higgins has been putting together. So T. Higgins is a definite for me. It's so hard to play OBJ because we have no faith in Baker Mayfield, but I think this would be a get-right game. We've seen this matchup before, so I'm going to go with both players in the same game, T. Higgins and OBJ.
It's interesting. This is an interesting one, Lisa, because we just got done talking about Packers, Texans, start everybody you can that you have in that game, but Josh Allen is going against the worst team in the league. Deshaun Watson or Josh Allen?
The obvious play would be Josh Allen, right? But if the Jets put up no points, there's no reason to force that game to be a high-scoring game. And I really do think that Deshaun Watson can force this game to be a high-scoring game. So I'm still going to go with Deshaun Watson just for the upside and the need for production.
Yeah, I agree. I like the Packers-Texans game feels like 41-38, whereas that Bills-Jets game feels like 24-3 or something like that.
Yeah, at best, right? At best.
CeeDee Lamb from the Cowboys. The Cowboys have the Washington football team this week versus AJ Green of the Bengals, who have the Browns at home. Lamb or Green?
I like Lamb this week. I like Lamb a lot this week. I think that the moving target that's going to be following Gallup is going to affect Gallup's production, so I would go CeeDee Lamb.
Will Fuller, who, as we've mentioned, they have the Packers this weekend, or Robbie Anderson, who's been a nice surprise for fantasy owners. The Panthers play the Saints this weekend.
Yeah, Robbie Anderson has been a really nice surprise, but I'm still going to go with Will Fuller at home. Again, just making points happen because it's going to be a higher scoring game.
Another Mike Williams here from the Chargers, but this time you got to pick one of Mike Williams, Juju Smith-Schuster, they have the Titans, and Brandon Cooks of the Texans.
Boy, Juju is really getting pushed aside, right? We don't really know if it's him, but you can't discount what Chase Claypool has done with the opportunity that he's been given, right? Really showcasing. It's great how we see young players start to emerge at this point of the season and realize, you know what, this guy is really good. Like, okay, he's on every fantasy team right now. I still am going to go with that Texans game. I am going to go with Brandon Cooks for your Houston Texans.
Okay, so the last one here, Lisa, this is actually a trade. And they want to get your opinion on a trade. So this, and of course my browser freezes up. There we go. Should I accept a trade of Le'Veon Bell and Austin Eckler for Brandon Cooks and Leonard Fournette? I'm giving up the latter, and I already have Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So they're getting a couple more running backs here. They get a handcuff in Le'Veon Bell to pair with Helaire, and they're giving up Brandon Cooks and Leonard Fournette, who you'd definitely be selling high on Cooks right now, and Fournette's a backup in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I think you're selling high on Cooks, and Le'Veon Bell is going to share the work with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Yes, I do believe that Lev Bell is going to be brought in there for that end zone work that we see, that's where Clyde Edwards-Helaire struggles right now. Nothing wrong with that. He's a rookie. He's going to hone in on that and work on that, and Lev Bell is going to give him that opportunity to not have that pressure. But I don't want to wait on Austin Eckler because we are getting reports again of how much longer it might take him to return. And I just don't believe in Leonard Fournette. So I guess I'm going to say you're going to hold on to Brandon Cooks and try and rework this deal for other players. I would keep Brandon Cooks and I would try to make a transaction. I would counter that trade. Yeah. Try to dump Leonard Fournette, though, because Ronald Jones is really getting it done.
Yeah, finally. He is big time in Tampa Bay. Lisa Ann, you can get her on Twitter at TheRealLisaAnn. She joins us every Friday in the final segment of the week to get you guys ready for fantasy football. Hit her up on Twitter as well. And she's on SiriusXM, and she's got a great podcast as well. So Lisa Ann all over the place, including on our show on Fridays. Hey, Lisa, we appreciate it as always. Good luck this weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Enjoy the games and have a great weekend, everybody.
You too. Thanks, Lisa Ann, joining us each and every week on the show. All right, Seth, we got a few minutes left as we get ready for Packers and Texans on Sunday. I feel great about the Texans offensively. I don't feel very good defensively. What are some things on the defensive side of the ball that we can at least maybe feel okay that they'll do competently this weekend?
I think the fact that the Texans were even in that game at the end of the game, they blew it, obviously. But the fact that they were able to have a couple of big moments in the red zone, one by just holding the Titans to a field goal that they missed, one by a Justin Reed missed field goal. Those were complete accidents. The one thing that the Texans defense has done well this year is that they're 10th in red zone defense. The opponent is scoring a touchdown about 50% of the time, I believe, that they're down there, which is good for 10th in the NFL. And that's no small thing when you talk about a defense that has a hard time stopping offenses from moving up and down the field. If they can tighten it up in the red zone at the very least, and then if the offense holds up its side of the bargain, which is, let's remember, O'Brien spent heavily on the offense this offseason, barely did anything to the defense other than a couple of draft picks and signing Eric Murray. They need the offense to perform the way that they have the last couple weeks. And then you'll win some shootouts, and the defense can maybe be a 50 percentile type of defense. And they just need to keep building on that. The other thing is that they finally got into the turnover party.
Yeah.
They forced three turnovers in that game. You got to keep doing that, whether it's J.J. Watt or whomever else. J.J. would be the other big thing about all of that. J.J. probably had his best game as a pass rusher last week. He just needs to hopefully keep looking like the old school J.J.
Yeah, I think you nailed it. I think the team that steals a couple possessions here with the turnovers, and you bring up a great point about the red zone defense. If you can turn some of these sevens into threes defensively, that might be the difference in this game.
Oh, and then the other one big thing, which is like it sounds like the greatest buzzkill ever.
Yeah.
They were awesome against screens. For whatever that's worth, they looked like they really... Hey, I'll take it, especially because the Packers really work on their screen game. Their play action is the big thing. The Texans were atrocious in play action last week. If they can improve on play action a little bit, just a little bit, please, over last week, you got a shot, as long as, again, the offense has to put out.
All right, you pick 'em. The You Pick 'em contest, Rocket Mortgage 2020 Pro Football Pick 'em. Radio.com/picks. You just got to pick the winners of the games this weekend. $1,000 per week up for grabs. You're competing with me and a bunch of other talkers from around the nation. Seth, I look forward to seeing you on Sunday morning, 9 a.m. as we get everybody ready for Texans and Packers here.
I look forward to seeing you on Sunday. I would say antibodies and Danica Patrick's to you.
Okay, fair enough. Aaron Rodgers might take umbrage with that. Hey, we're done.
They're not a thing anymore, are they? Or are
they?
Oh,
are they? I don't, yeah.
Are they a thing? Oh, I don't know.
I better check. Yeah.
Were they ever? Okay.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers and Danica Patrick? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. You're thinking of Olivia. You're thinking of Olivia Munn.
They broke up. They broke up at some point. Apparently not too far in the past.
Okay. All right. Well, antibodies to him too, I guess, huh?
I hope so. Well, no, I'd say antibodies to her. Who knows what he was up to?
Hey, we're done. In the Loop's up next. Have a great weekend. We'll see you on Sunday at 9 a.m. and we'll see you Monday at 6 a.m. Have a great day, everybody.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.